aside, I just wanted to say something that really struck me the other day about Chris when I met with him. He is someone who really gets to the heart of a matter. He doesn't just go around the surface level, around the outside of something. He gets to the heart of the matter. And I'm really intrigued at the revelation he has for us today. So, yeah, bless you, bro.
Wonderful. Encouraged before we start. That's good. Good evening. It's so good to see you. I'm really glad you're here. And it's great to be with you. And my name's Chris, if we've not met. And I hope you've had a good weekend. We've just been on holiday. I'm in the family over there. We've just got back from Wales today. Any Wales people? Yes. Yeah. Had a great time. Really, really good fun. And we also this morning went to Hope Chapel to see Andrew and Rebecca be sort of prayed in for their first service there. And that was also a real treat to be there. Wonderful. Well, if you're visiting us or you haven't been around for a while, then you may not know that we are in a series of teaching all about life in the Spirit, life in the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about a few things so far. We've talked about the importance, the significance of persisting, persistence being a value in our lives when it comes to asking for the Holy Spirit. That's a really important thing. We've talked about that. We've set the Holy Spirit in the context of the Trinity, so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then Chris last week brought us a wonderful message which highlighted really the significance of availability to the Holy Spirit and attentiveness to the Holy Spirit, and that those two things being key components of our ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit, attentiveness and availability. And what I'm going to do this evening is just begin to, I guess, to build on some of that stuff and keep developing our series of teaching. We're going to be right across the Bible, so I'm going to ask if you have one near to you. If possible, get your eyes on one. There are some at the back if you need them as well. So we're going to have a little fun. It's going to be great. Cool. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and ask them this question. When you hear the word help, what comes to mind? When you hear the word help, what comes to mind? Okay, you've got a couple of minutes to chat to each other. You sound like you're finished. That was amazing. I like picked up the microphone and everyone went, phew. That's good news. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word help. I imagine a whole load of things spring to mind. I heard the word exams being used, which is probably relevant for a few of our students here this evening. I wonder if you could remember a time where in your life where you really needed help with something. A time in your life where you really needed help with something. One of my lowest moments at school was my GCSE E grade in woodwork. That's one of my low points. I had a few low points, but that was one of the low points. And one of the insecurities of my life is that I'm just not very good at practical things. I'm not very good at DIY. I want to be good at DIY. I'm just not very good at it. And I sort of come to the realization that I've sort of owned the fact that I'm not very good at it, but I want to get better. But I just don't really give any time to it. I think this is stemmed from my GCSE woodwork, because it was a disaster, an absolute disaster. Now, I knew going into it that I was not good at woodwork or anything that involved making something. But I thought what I'd do is make something that was going to be relevant to my life. So I thought what I'd do is make a guitar case, because as a guitar player, worship leader, I thought that would be a really useful thing for me. I might not even have to buy one. I could just make one, and it would be excellent. Now, Andy, I don't know if you... Is your guitar case around? Could you grab it for me? Thank you, mate. This is what a guitar case actually looks like. See, nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. You just stand it there. That's fine, yeah. Lovely. Now, that's not made out of wood, is it? Because wood's very heavy, isn't it? Mm. A silly material to use when you're thinking about building a guitar case, but I went for it anyway. So I started building this guitar case, and I've got no idea about like joints, glue, screws, nails. I mean, I am so out of my depth, and so I start making this thing, and I as it comes together, I start to realize that actually my guitar's not really going to fit in it. So the first issue is that my guitar's not going to fit in the case. But because I'm too far along, I can't backtrack and make it bigger. So it's already useless and very heavy. Very, very heavy, because it's made out of a very heavy wood that I should never have chosen. So I'm making the guitar case. And in the end, what I have to do is I have to go... My friend had, it was his granddad. And he was like, I don't know, some sort of master craftsman, brilliant with his hands, wood, all that kind of stuff, had a shed. All people who are good with wood have a shed in their garden. This guy had a shed in his garden, and me and my friend went to visit him one Saturday to do our GCSE woodwork projects, because I desperately needed help. And as it came together, it didn't look much better coming out of his shed, mainly because he wasn't the kind of guy who was going to do it for me, which was a shame, because that's what I was really there for, was that for him to do it for me. But he didn't do it for me. He sort of made me do it with a bit of help. So it didn't actually look much better than it would have done if I had not gone there in the first place, which is a real, real shame. I get out of the shed, and I put it in the boot of the car, and I take it to school. And essentially what you've got now is just a wooden box, shaped vaguely, well, not like that, but like, honestly, it looks like a coffin. That's genuinely what it looked like. It looked like a coffin. Now, it was so bad, and right next to me, my friend, not the friend who I went with to the granddad, but my other friend, has made a pool table. So we're working with some good people here. And so here I come with my coffin-shaped box. And the thing that you need to do, obviously, is to cut it in half and put hinges on it so that it actually has a lid. Well, that's what I thought. Anyway, it has a lid so you can close it and then put some attachments so it actually closes. All the guitar goes in it. Remember, this is already useless. My guitar's not going to fit in it anyway. But the teacher, such as he was, would not cut my box in half. He wouldn't help me finish my project, either because it was too late. I don't know if it was too late going in, but he wouldn't help me. And so I ended up with my GCSE woodwork project with a wooden box that was supposed to be a guitar case that looked like a coffin and was totally useless. And that is the story of my venture into all things practical, which is where my insecurity starts, by the way, I think. I desperately needed help. And I was so out of my depth. And many of us will be able to relate to a time in our life where we desperately needed help. Some of us It will be like one-off instances like that. It will be practical things. It will be things that come to mind that involve relationships or conversations or decisions that we had to make. We can all relate to a time in our life where we just needed help. And it was really hard to find it. All of us could relate to that. Tonight, I want to focus on how we cultivate a lifestyle being helped and led by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is our helper. So tonight, the title of my message is Heaven Help Us. Heaven Help Us. If you've got a Bible, I'd love you to turn to John chapter 14. My aim for the next few minutes together is to speak to you in two sections. I want to unpack the role of the Holy Spirit as our helper a little bit in section one. And then I want to move into Romans, our passage that we just heard. And I want to talk about what it partly means to be led by the Holy Spirit, to live lives that are led by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to aim to do that. I'm not sure we'll get through all of it, but we'll see how we go. So in week one of this series, I spoke about the power of persistence from Luke 11, where Jesus teaches his friends about prayer. He's teaching his friends about prayer. And he says towards the end of that portion of the scripture, he uses an analogy of good fathers who give good gifts to their children. And then he says, well, if you as good fathers can give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? The Holy Spirit being the best gift of all. It's the greatest gift that the Father can give us. It's the best gift that you could have beyond anything. The Holy Spirit's the greatest gift. And how much more does your good Father in heaven want to give you the best gift, the greatest gift of all, if you ask him? The Holy Spirit is your greatest gift. He's your gift, but he's also your helper. Now, I want to say at this point that for some of us, the idea of receiving help can be quite hard. For lots of us, we're used to doing things in our own strength. We're used to even just doing things on our own. We're used to doing things our own way, some of us. And so the idea of inviting someone in to help us can actually be quite a tricky concept because we're used to doing it on our own. And I want to just talk a bit about that because the Holy Spirit is so good. And to neglect the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to miss out on so much of the adventure of our journey of faith and discipleship with him. To neglect his help is just to miss out on so much. And I believe that some of us here tonight, many of us even, have just got so used to doing things in our own strength that we're missing out on some of the most adventurous elements of our journey of faith with the Lord. Help is really good. It's good to be helped. We all need help sometimes. So in the week leading up to the cross, Jesus says a whole bunch of really important things to his friends. And you can find this in John. He says a whole load of really important things, some of which relates to the promise of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this takes us to our first scripture in John 14. And it's just verses 15 and 16. And it says this. This is Jesus talking to his friends. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. And then it says the Spirit of Truth. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to what? To what? To help you. To help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now, when Jesus says that the Father will give, quotes, another advocate, the two words there are really interesting and they need a bit of attention. When Jesus says another, so he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. That word, when we talk about the word another, he really means someone like me is what he means. Someone who's in addition to me but is just like me. The Father's going to send someone just like me, in addition to me, just like me. So encouraging to hear Jesus say that, isn't it? I'm going to send someone just like me. He's going to send someone just like me. And then in John 15, if you just flick over the page to verse 26, Jesus uses that word advocate again. And he says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. When the advocate comes. This word advocate, which Jesus uses in those two passages, literally means to be called beside you. To be called beside. So, when Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, he's saying, the Father's going to send someone who is in addition to me, but is just like me. He's going to send someone who's just like me. And he's going to come, and he's called to be right beside you. Forever. He's called to be right beside you. The Holy Spirit that the Father sends is your helper, who is in addition to, but just like Jesus, and is called to be right beside you. How amazing is that, right? That's so encouraging. It's the greatest gift ever. Jesus goes on in chapter 16 of John, where he says this, I mean, it's sort of a bonkers thing, I think. It's just an incredible thing. He's in verse 12, verse of chapter 16 in John, he says to his friends, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. So this is Jesus talking to his friends. I got so much more I want to say, but you can't handle it right now. Which I could imagine. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, wait for this. He will guide you into all the truth. When he, the Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. All the truth. So Jesus says, there's so much more I want to say, but you can't handle it right now. But this person that the Father's going to send, who is just like me, and who's going to be called to stand beside you forever, he is the one who will guide you into all truth, all the truth. A guide is designed to be a helper, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is your helper. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Earlier on in Romans 8, we got a portion of Romans 8, which we read together just a few minutes ago. Earlier on in that chapter, in verse 6, and you can flick over to Romans chapter 8 now. In verse 6 of Romans 8, there's this one verse here which is really interesting. It says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the Spirit is death, but the mind governed... The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, for me, the truth hidden in this verse has been something that's really been like so influential for me when I think about the Holy Spirit being my helper. This idea of life and peace, particularly when it comes to decisions. So when I think about the Holy Spirit being my helper, I often think about the kinds of decisions that I make and how I make decisions. And actually, over the years, I've learned to pay attention to the presence of life and peace or the absence of it in my decisions. So there was this one time, it was after I graduated, and I was trying to decide what to do next with my life. Helena and I were about to be engaged. Is that right? Yeah, about to be engaged, I think. And I had the opportunity, or I thought I had, it would be a good opportunity to go and interview for an internship for a church, because I felt like that's what I wanted to do in my life. Now, this Helena was studying in Canterbury, which is right east Kent, And this church was up north. And I went to this interview, and the door sort of opened for me. I got into the interview. It was a great time. Introduced to lots of people. Got through the interview. Got a call and said, great, we'd love to have you next year for our internship. And I thought, fantastic. The door's opened. Isn't it interesting that sometimes when the door opens, we just assume it's right? And this door opened wide in front of me, and I just never, ever, ever at any point had the presence of life or peace about that decision. And it took me probably 9 months to reach the decision. And it was a year in which it was really hard. I found life quite hard in that year because I was trying to work out what to do. And in the end, I was in a real state. I was at a conference and I was hating it. It was awful. I was in a real state and I had no peace and no life, and I was really just disconnected from everything. And I just knew in that moment, I knew I was at my end, and I had to make this call to these people at this church, and I had to say, I'm so sorry. Thanks for accepting me onto your thing, but I can't come. I've got no peace. So I called them, and they said, okay, that's sort of fine. It was only like two weeks before I was supposed to go. It's fine. Hope everything goes well. See you soon. And I put the phone down, and I just knew that it was the right decision. A few weeks later, I was driving, I was with my mum and dad, I was driving in the car with my mum, and I got this phone call from a guy who had worked at the church that I was a student at in Canterbury. And he said, hey Chris, he was a youth pastor, I've got a new job in a new church, and your name keeps coming up in our conversations, we'd love you to apply for the role of youth pastor at our church. Now, that's fascinating, because what you don't know about the story is that the previous year, God had been sharing vision with me for young people. I had nowhere to land it. It was like a random, like, envisioning of my life that I thought had no purpose. It was like no landing space for it at all. I went to this other church for the interview, for the internship. It was no peace, no life. I had to say no. And then in a few weeks' time, I got this phone call. And this other door opened up in front of me. And I took the job as youth pastor in that church and have been doing stuff in church ever since. But the key of that story for me is it's the barometer of life and peace in the Holy Spirit being my helper. So I want to ask you, the Holy Spirit, your helper, if your mind is governed by life and peace, what do you do when that's absent in your life? Do you plow on regardless? Do you pay attention? Like what Chris was saying, are you attentive to the Holy Spirit in that? For me, that's been really key and a specific area in which the Holy Spirit has really helped me, particularly in peace. So later on in Romans, we're flicking all over the place. I know there's a lot of scripture, but we're going for it. Later on in Romans, Paul, in verse 26, Paul talks about the Spirit helping us in our weakness. And he's referring predominantly here to it within our prayer life. By the way, the Holy Spirit is your best prayer partner, because the Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness, in your prayer life. And this word here for help, it also appears in the Mary and Martha story, where Martha is busy getting everything ready for Jesus to come to the house. Jesus arrives and Mary just sits down at Jesus' feet, you know, being all cool and listening. And Martha's like, she says to Jesus, why don't you tell her to help me? It's the same word. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. It's the same word that gets used in that story. And what it means is it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit does stuff instead of us. Just like the granddad who wouldn't build my guitar case. It's not that he does stuff instead of us or just for us. It's about partnership. It's in partnership with that the Holy Spirit wants to do life with us. Which leads us into section two, which is about being led by the Spirit. Now, flick back over to Romans 8 from verse 14. Okay? Romans 8 from verse 14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. Chris said last week that as Christians, we all have the Holy Spirit in us. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of God, the presence of God, the person of God lives and dwells inside of you. It's just a crazy reality that we live in, but true. But that does not necessarily mean that your life is being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Doesn't necessarily mean that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Because what this really means, to be led by the Holy Spirit, is a continual and present reality in your life of relationship building. It's the Holy Spirit that is called to be beside you, to help you. To be led by the Holy Spirit is to engage in a constant and present relationship. Questions, conversations, promptings, advice from others. So many ways that the Holy Spirit wants to help to lead you. But it does involve our initiative and our choice. Because so often we want to hold on to our own life, don't we? We want to do things in our own strength. We can all relate to that idea of like finding help hard sometimes. Because we just want to do stuff on our own. We're prideful sometimes. We just want to get it done ourselves. We don't want to invite anyone in to help us. That can be hard sometimes. But this idea about being led by the Spirit is an invitation to choose to engage with the one who is called to be beside you forever. So I want to ask you this evening, is your life being led by the Holy Spirit? Is your life being led by the Holy Spirit? Do you engage the Holy Spirit in your decision-making process? From the big things all the way down to the little things, okay? So we're not just talking like career choice here. Let's talk about everything. Everything's on the table. There's no reason for anything to be off the table, right? There's no reason for anything to be off the table in our journey of adventure with the Holy Spirit. So it's your decisions. What about finance and the way you use your money? Do you invite the Holy Spirit into the way you make decisions about your money? How about your career? Do you invite the Holy Spirit into your conversation and your decision-making about what choices you make about your future job, career, whatever, even retirement plans, whatever it is, do you invite the Holy Spirit into that process? What about where you go for dinner? You could invite the Holy Spirit to help you with that too. Right? I mean, don't take it off the table. There's no reason to take it off the table. But so often we don't put these things on the table. We just make our decision. We just go for and make our own decisions. And then suddenly when we're in crisis mode and we need the help, we're like, ah, God, help me. Don't take anything off the table. It's a relationship. Just, it's constant. He's called to be beside you forever. What about this one? What about your quiet times? Quiet times. Sometimes we love to put systems in place, don't we? We love to put systems in place because sometimes the systems help us to determine whether we've like ticked the box to succeed or not. And I would just want to say this because I think it's important for us. I think sometimes we've systemized quiet times. And for many of us, when we've done it, when we've spent our time with God, inverted commas, we've done it, so we can go great. And when we haven't, we just feel guilty about the fact that we've not spent enough time with God. How many of us could relate to that feeling of just, or that constant nagging of, I just haven't spent enough time with God this week? Yeah, I mean, I didn't ask you to put your hands up, but great. Like, thanks for your vulnerability. Definitely. Yes. We all feel it. But how about instead of feeling guilty about the fact that we haven't been spending enough time with God, we invite the Holy Spirit into the conversation. We say, hey, Holy Spirit, how much time could I spend with you today? Or how much time do you want to spend with me today in that kind of environment? Because it's different for all of us. And for some reason, we've systemized this sort of spiritual part of our relationship with God where we've either done it or we haven't. And if we've done it, great. And if we haven't, we feel bad. Let's stop feeling bad about the fact that we haven't spent enough time with God, or we feel like we haven't spent enough time with God. And let's invite him into the conversation. Yeah? Let's invite him in. Because the answer that I get to that question is going to be really different to the answer that you get to that question. So me saying, go and lock yourself in your bedroom and spend an hour in the morning reading your Bible with a cup of tea and all that kind of stuff. For some of you, it's not possible. Doesn't need to be possible. But I want to encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit into that process. Don't take it off the table. And please stop feeling guilty about feeling bad for not spending enough time with God. Please stop feeling guilty about that. It's really important you do that. That feeling is not from God. Yeah? I want to read this little bit out of this book, and then we're going to finish to pray. It's a worship leader called Stephanie Gretzinger who writes some of the songs that we sing here. And she was interviewed in a book that some guys from here have been using. It's a bit like a devotional book, I suppose, in some ways. And in the book, she got asked this question. What does it look like for the Holy Spirit to lead you while you lead worship? What does it look like for the Holy Spirit to lead you while you lead worship? This is what she said. The same way we do the rest of the day together. I don't know how to make it about a special occasion anymore. That's how near I feel he is. That's how much we're talking. I'm asking questions a lot. And if I'm not asking a question, I typically feel him nudge me. Why don't you ask me about that? Why don't you ask me what I think about that? There's always dialogue. So when we step into worship, the hope is that we were connected before and we would just continue on in that conversation. And then it just gets even sweeter because there's nothing like a room full of people going in the same direction in worship. That might be a really simple answer, but I think it's the truest. That's good, isn't it? When we walk into this building every week, it's not about like what do I sap from it, and are they singing the songs that I like, and how do I evaluate the preacher? You know, what am I going to say about it when it finishes? It's not all about this. You know, it's just an ongoing part of your relationship with God. This moment is hopefully like the conversation that we're having throughout the day already. And this is an extension of that process, just as it will be when you wake up tomorrow or you go home and you decide what you want to have for dinner. Holy Spirit, what shall I have for dinner tonight? This is what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, the one who is just like Jesus and called to be beside you forever. To neglect the help of the Holy Spirit is to miss out on so much of the adventure that God has for you. And I want to encourage us as a community into that. Like, heaven help us, right? We need it. I need it so badly in my life. Heaven help me. Like, just jot that phrase down somewhere this week where you're going to see it. Heaven help me this week. Make it a reminder for you that the Holy Spirit is the one who's called to be right beside you. And he wants you to live a life that's led by him. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop there. I think there's a few things that I would like us to engage with when it comes to praying for a bit now. I think for some of us, I guess there's a few things I want to just open out for our ministry time. I think for some of us, it's as simple as inviting the Holy Spirit's help in our life. Maybe even for the first time. It might be just saying to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I just need your help. Come and help me. And making that invitation to him. He's not going to force his help upon you. So for some of us, it's about that. For some of us, I feel like it's like a recommitting of a life led by the Holy Spirit. Some of you have known what that's like, and things have just, whatever, you know, gone a different direction. That's okay. Don't feel condemnation or guilt or shame about any of that, but hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit to come back. And I feel like for some of us, it's a recommitting of our lives to be led by him. For some other people, I feel like it's just like we're just too many of us are doing things in our own strength. We're just going ahead and doing life, and we've taken all these things off the table, or maybe even not put any of them on the table in the first place, and we're just living life in our own strength. We're just doing it all ourselves, and some of us feel the weight of that. And I feel like it would be good for us to pray for anyone here who could do with some prayer on that as well. So it's an invitation to the Holy Spirit's help. It's a life recommitted in this moment to being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's for anyone who is struggling of doing life in your own strength at the moment or in any area. Okay? And there'll be a whole range of other things, obviously, too, and they're all great. Is that okay? Brilliant. Should we stand? Worship team, I'm going to invite you up, and some of our ministry team, can I have you available? So Chris and Esther, Natalie, maybe if you're happy to pray. Any of us of our small group leaders who do not want prayer for themselves as well, I would love you to be available to pray with people. And I'm going to ask you tonight to go to my left, to your right, and just into that aisle over there. Is that all right? Thanks, guys. And as we begin to worship, I just encourage you, find someone to pray with you if that's what you need. You can always ask someone next to you as well, obviously. But let's spend a moment praying together now. Yeah. Wonderful Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our helper. Thank you that you love to help us. Thank you that you were sent to help us. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and fulfill that role tonight. To help us, to help your children. Father, we're sorry for where we've taken things in our own strength. And I want to just say, if you've got stuff in your mind right now where you know that's true for you, just begin just to give it over to the Lord. If you know there are areas of your life where you just take on strength, you just take it all on, you take the weight, just begin to hand it over and do that specifically. Just say, Holy Spirit, I give you whatever that thing is. I give you this. I give you this. Holy Spirit, I give you that. Take the weight, Holy Spirit. Just begin to do that. Father, we're sorry for where we've taken the weight that wasn't ever designed to be ours in the first place. And we surrender that to you now. And Father, for those of us that are ready to respond in this way, we ask that you would stir us towards a life that is led by your Holy Spirit as fully and wholly as is possible. We surrender our lives to your leading, to your friendship, to your guidance, to your help. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do is we're going to worship just for a little while together, okay? Just for a little while. And as we do that,